This program was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.
Sport holds a special place in the hearts of the people of Youghal. When you delve a little deeper, you discover that rugby in particular is a sport held in high regard by the locals of the seaside town. Youghal Rugby Club is celebrating 55 years in existence in 2018. Since its inception for the 1963-64 season, it has gone from strength to strength, establishing itself as one of the biggest sports clubs, even institutions, here in Youghal. With several league and cup successes enjoyed over the years, and multiple graduates to have worn the Munster and Ireland jersey, Youghal Rugby Club has proved to be a wonderful grounding for young men, and nowadays, men and women. Youghal, a Rugby Stronghold, is a four-part series which aims to explore the rugby stronghold of Youghal, highlighting some key moments, paying tribute to crucial contributors, and examining its role in producing some world-class players, coaches, and all-round great rugby people. In episode 1, we revisit the early years and follow the club's growth up to the 1990s. Norman MacDonald, a co-founder of the club, he can go all the way back to Youghal RFC's beginnings in the 1960s. What was rugby like in this part of the world during that era?
Well, rugby at that time was rough and tough. And there's no two ways about it. The skill levels were very, very low in comparison to what they are now. But you didn't have the impact, you didn't have the speed. And like that would be the difference in it, that it was really a tough one. Like, I mean, I broke my leg, I was unconscious for 3 weeks. I broke my neck, And like, we still kept playing rugby, And like, as I said there a minute ago, I was unconscious for 3 weeks, came out of hospital on the Monday and played rugby the following Sunday. Like, that's how mad it was, So it was, but on the other hand, we didn't know. And sure, look, ignorance is bliss when it comes to things like that,
Norman, Youghal Rugby Club was founded in the winter of 1963. What was actually done to set up the club, or how did it come about?
Our very first recorded meeting was 21st of November 1963. Okay. Our first training session was the 23rd of November 1963. Prior to that, John L and myself and a fellow called David Hosford, we used to travel down to Skibbereen to play rugby, because David was an ex-member of Skibbereen and he got his games playing with Skibbereen. So the first two games we played in 63, September 63, was against two away teams from Skibbereen itself. So I'm trying to remember, I think one was Mallow, and I think another one was one of the teams in Cork. It could have been Highfield or something like that. But then the following two matches were at home for Skibbereen. So Janelle and myself drove all the way down to Skibbereen for the first match at home, and we weren't picked to play. So it was all right, we didn't mind. So we drove down again the second Sunday, and we were told we weren't in. So we didn't even wait for the game, we just turned around, drove back to Youghal. So the pair of us were pelted back into town, back on the back of this Honda 50. We pulled into the Green Park, and Frankie Gowan was behind the bar. We got into a conversation with Frankie, and we got talking, how we were very upset that we were only being required when they didn't have us, when they didn't have the numbers for us to play. So we jumped onto the discussion of forming our own club, and we kind of said, what we'll do now is we'll call a few of our friends. At that time, I was working in Merricks, and spread the word in Merricks. John L had quite a few of his friends, like Dick Wade, Tommy Burke, that would have been Janelle's friends, and Dave Hosford, obviously. So we got them together, and we had our first meeting the 21st. But prior to that, Janelle and myself went over, and we saw Georgie Perks over in Mona Tray. And we asked George, was there any chance of a field? Because we had tried around town, and there was nobody prepared to give us a field at that time, because we wouldn't have had insurance, do you understand? And so anyway, George said, "Oh, sure, look, go on, we'll search out the field." So we had a field, and with that, we had our first meeting on the 21st of November, and Albert Cole was appointed chairman. Nancy Lynch, and I believe this is a first for Ireland, was made secretary of the All Rugby Football Club. So we were ahead of our time right from the word go. And Johnelle was made treasurer. David Hosford was made captain. Tom Burke was on the committee, and Frankie Gong. Now, the committee, the way the committee was formed in those days was those people that were on the committee had the voting right, but the rest of us were on the committee as non-executive members. We were just there for the work.
Right.
Grand job, because we were always able to, you know, talk about what was going to be done on that for the first year. We needed it because, you know, we didn't have the manpower, so like we had to do a lot among ourselves.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. The move to Frogmore, or at least the general area of Frogmore, came about shortly after the club's establishment. The All RFC was now located in the town, which was a big boost for both locals and the organisation itself. First of all, Yall would play next to a location which is nowadays an industrial site, before moving just yards down the road in 1968 to what is now its present-day home of Frogmore. This was a big step forward for the local rugby club, and it was to continue its progress from there.
XYC Toyota, XYC.
Back, get it back. Cover hands, and walk.
It was decided anyhow that we'd go off training. So we had our first training the following Sunday, which I think was the 23rd, if my memory serves me correct, over in Piltown. And we progressed on, and you know the numbers got bigger and smaller and bigger and smaller, as you know, some fellas turned up for training, some fellas didn't. But eventually we played Skibbereen around the 12th of December in Skibbereen. But do you know, it is lovely to have fellas like Sidney Howe. Sidney Howe at that time would have been under 17, so he wouldn't have been allowed to play rugby. And but Sidney was there, Sidney was training like. And he was able to remind me, because we had been promised our new set of jerseys to play that game, and they hadn't arrived. And we got the Band and Grammar schoolboys jerseys. So we played in Band and Grammar School jerseys for our very first game down in Skibbereen in 63. And the very first photograph of us was, they came about 2 weeks later, the jerseys came, and we were a training session over in Piltown. And all the lads who played that game are in that picture. But you will notice there's 16 people on it. But the truth of it is there was one fella didn't play, but I'm not going to mention his name. But Albert Cole, who's a character, Albert refused point blank. And he had his old Dolphin jersey. And Albert had actually played senior for Dolphin 10 years before that. I mean, he'd retired 10 years before that. And like Albert would have been, you know, he would have been 30. At that stage, you know, which was kind of very old, where the rest of us were 18, 19, 20. Do you know what I mean? We used to alternate our meetings between Hearns and Green Park.
Right.
We'd have one in Hearns, one in Green Park. And because that's why we had our first meeting in the Green Park, but it wasn't an official meeting, so it wasn't recorded. So the next one we had then was in Hearns. But eventually the lads decided that, you know, they should expand a bit and get people in with experience. And it was asked for Captain Fitzgibbon to join us. He joined us. And I remember sitting there in the corner, listening to these guys. And the captain turned around and he says, "By the way, lads, are we affiliated to the IRFU?" And of course we knew nothing about affiliation to the IRFU, which of course was totally illegal. Like, if no, so if somebody got injured on us, we'd be on a boat to China, you know.
Approach. Fine. Set.
Hold.
And break. Whoa. Just the front row.
There was a lot of good things went on in the fact that, you know, trying to raise money and buy, you know, in those days, like, balls were very expensive in comparison to what they are now, like, exceedingly expensive.
Right.
Jerseys are exceedingly expensive. All that kind of stuff was like, It was you couldn't buy it off the peg. Do you know what I mean? You couldn't walk into a store and put your hand in a ball. You had to order a ball. Do you know what I mean? And like consequently, all those kind of things were very, very expensive. The other big occasion that happened to us in the early period, in the kind of late 60s, early 70s, was the creation of the Carpet Club. Huh. And the Carpet Club was fantastic because it gave guys that were in the carpets the opportunity to get involved in the rugby club. And afterwards to get involved in the committee. So you got guys like Paddy O'Terry, who is still there from the date that that started. Do you know what I mean? And you had other guys like Paddy Neville, unfortunately he's dead now, that were there. And like, you know, their handprint is still on it. And like, that's the kind of thing that I feel fantastic about.
Sidney Ho is a former captain at Yall RFC. He led the side in 1971. Sidney shows me a photograph of the first ever Yall rugby team. He was a youngster at the time, but he points out to me the players who were involved in that first 15 of the 1963-64 season.
I wasn't involved, I was only 16 and a half at the time. In the original photograph in the back left to right, Norm MacDonald, Dick Rusk, Frank Kennedy, Miles Clancy, Albert Cole, George Coakley, Dick Wade, Bob Pomeroy, Eric Dan, front row, John L. Perks, David Hosford, Frankie Gowan, Andy Law, Don Mossop, Hillard Bryan, Bob Tanner. Unfortunately, may they rest in peace. A good few of the members of that team have gone past on. That was the first team in 1963.
Sidney himself would line out in the weeks and months that followed, and he took up the captaincy in the 1970s.
I became captain in 1970-71. Well, good old days.
Yeah.
There was games that we used to... No, but lots of competitive games. We used to play the O'Neill Cup and all competitions. But we used to have some really sociable games. We used to play the naval services, go down to Cove and go across the Spike Island. And we used to go up to the aerodrome in Fermoy when they had the aerodrome there, just outside the town in Fermoy. And there were two great occasions we used to have, because the beer was... No taxes on the beer, and you got sandwiches, they're about 2 inches thick, and there'd be junks of cheese and ham inside in the middle of them. And there was a good one, we went to Spike Island one day, and of course, there was no ladies in the Navy then, and we happened to have a couple of ladies with us. So the ladies had to go to the toilet, naturally. So most lads, we had to go out and stand guard, and the toilet doors for the ladies going to the toilet. There were the comedy sessions, but there was... A great camaraderie back rugby then. You got to know a lot of the opposition, and I still know some of them, like, and I still remain friends with some of them.
Yeah,
even our next door neighbours, Middleton, I have a good lot of friends up there as well, and different clubs, still good friends. Just one thing about the rugby is always great camaraderie.
Yeah.
You beat the devil out of each other out in the field, and you went in afterwards, you'd be by each other a pint. And Lada Merson, who was a great example, that was Paddy Lane. He'd be always buying his opposite prop forward a pint. He was a great comrade for the camaraderie.
Yeah.
They were the good old days. I have a team here from 1971-72. I'll read it out again in the back left to right. It's Mick Healy, John Brosnan, James Brown, Peter Hamill, Tony Cunningham, Paddy Neville, Pat O'Brien, Eddie Ryan. Front row then, Jim Hogan, Kieran Cooper, Sidney Howe, Jared Hogan, Norman MacDonald, Pat Carey. And again, unfortunately, from 71 and 2, we've lost a couple of those members as well. We used to train fairly regularly, like, and of course they were still drinking Saturday night, so it wasn't very serious with rugby then as it is nowadays. People went out, they enjoyed themselves, but you kind of stay off the pints on Saturday night, but Sunday evening after the match you had a few pints again, of course. And I go back to then, when we had our first pitch, above on top of the hill where Power Products Factory, well, Artisan Factory is nowadays. That's where the first pitch was before we moved across to Frogmore. We used to take off below in the Herons. And prior to that, we used to take off in the Walter Raleigh Hotel. Mrs. Tucker used to be there. Upstairs in the bathrooms, we used to have baths to wash ourselves. And the bar is still in the same place. And there used to be a bathroom directly over the bar. And quite often, of course, what happened, the boys being boys, the water was splashed over the edge of the bat and, of course, straight down to the bar, through the ceiling. So Mrs. Tucker used to be mad with us. They were good. Go back in the first team, I suppose. Your David Hosford, he was a class act. David was one of the best of them was there. And then you come on in the 71-72 team, Pat O'Brien was out in Ballynono. He was a fine player. Peter Hamill is a fine player. Norman was a good player. And Pat Carey. Lots of players were all average players, but you had a couple of standout players. And they played another fellow, Johnny Fitzgibbon, below in the Herons. Johnny was a lovely, beautiful player. The darling player. He played with Eddie Sullivan as well, Eddie, as you know of. He was a fine player as well. Eddie came up on the age. He started on the 10s or 12s or something, and he used to have his granduncle with him up there, Jimmy Delaney Lord and Mercy him. He used to be always on the sideline with a big top coat and watching him. There was lots of good players went through the club from time to time, and 99% of the fellas were all average rugby players. You had a few outstanding fellas.
Mick Kelly also played with y'all in the 1960s and 70s. What are some of his memories of his time involved?
I was at sea and home on leave. Curry Perks persuaded me to join the club when it started. That was 10 shillings a week and 10 shillings a year at the time. So I paid me 10 bob and that was it. I didn't play for them until 65. And I was basically persuaded to play, and I played on. Every time I was home on leave, I played then, you know. Mainly for the seconds and thirds, the thirds being Yall Carpets. My wife had worked in Yall Carpets, so I qualified to play for them, along with Padjo and people like that who were Yall Carpets. It was pretty rough going in our day. It was the referees allowed a lot to go on. I was played prop forward, and with props, it wasn't a matter of giving away penalties, it was trying to overawe the fella you were propping against, and there used to be a fair bit of dirt in the front row. There'd be fists flying, all the rest of it. But it was good fun. You didn't mind at the time, you know.
Yeah, you enjoyed it anyway.
Yeah. I can't say I was ever any good because I was never home long enough. By the time I got fairly fit, I mean, I'm talking fairly now, not fit, I was back to sea again, you know. But I was always strong. I seldom got injured and I had a strong back. So, as I say, we props never played with the ball. That was none of our business. It was the opposition we played against.
Definitely.
The ball was for the fancy boys out the back. But in those days, you know, most of the guys, like myself, I played a couple of games on a cadet ship. But other than that, like most of them, hadn't played any rugby as kids. So we were always looking for people who had rugby experience. And in those days, the Banks, Merricks, and the odd guard you'd find had gone to a rugby school, you know. At one stage, we had two vets on the team. There was Rochford and Murray. You know, you might get a doctor. There was very few, but if they had any experience, they were roped in immediately, you know.
I see, yes.
You had fellas like Albert Cole playing well into their 40s, you know. It was fairly rough rugby, and the other teams we were playing against, except the city teams, would have been in the same boat. Cove were fairly good because they had the naval service. Middleton would have been similar to ourselves. From I then started later. Same sort of thing, Charleville. These clubs would all have a few fellas who had good rugby experience and a load of fellas who didn't.
Mick went on to spend the best part of 20 years on the club's committee. His former teammate, Padge O'Terry, is another who stayed on in a non-playing capacity. Nowadays, Padge is the driving force behind the club's lotto, and he can be spotted selling tickets for Youghal RFC almost every week of the year. But there was a time when he played the game as well.
When my first introduction to rugby was 1968, with Youghal captains, the late Paddy Neville introduced me to rugby. And then I started playing with the club in 1972. With the like of Michael Thrush Troy, who was called him, and Mickey Downey Sr. And we had Billy Ryan playing that time with us. A lot of the lads know him. Mick McCarthy's shop. Eric Horn, whose father was the bank manager in the Bank of Ireland for years. The three of Horn, Eric and Mark and Alan played with us. My memories, and we had some great fun. Rugby that time, today I think myself the fun is going out of it. It's getting too serious. We played for the fun. You played in the field, you played hard and tough. But after a match, then there was an unwritten rule that you bought your part of your opposite number of points when you came in. So what happened on the field stayed on the field and was forgotten about. At that time we played, the cups we were playing for was there. Like the late Dermot Newsom, he was a vice president above. He was the manager of the Bank of Ireland here as well. And we had the Dermot Newsom Cup, so there'd be four or five teams competition every year. We won that 1 year. So the cup that time, what the lad said to me today, go away, they were in Mickey Mouse Cup, we were in the real ones. So but they were cups that you played for. And we enjoyed them. We won it a few times. We had a Clockay Cup again with another competition. Yeah. And then we used to compete in the Ballyrandle Cup, which Dungarvan put up. And we went down to Dungarvan umpteen years with very, very good sides, and we couldn't win it. It was an incredible number. But unfortunately, all them things have fallen away now, because with the way the league is structured now at the moment, if you lose two games or three games, you're struggling. And it's all about promotion and staying up and all this.
One major ambition of Youghal Rugby Club, even since the 1960s, has been to provide underage rugby for the youth of the town, as Norman MacDonald explains.
From a committee point of view, one of the most important things we ever did was in 1968. I proposed Brendan Murphy for youth officer, and Michael Healy, the well-known Michael Healy, I mean, what a man, second me. And because we had to get the underage rugby officially recognised, because we had been doing it before that, but it was unofficial. And Brendan started up, and we kind of organised the under 8s, under 10s, under 12s, under 14s. I took on under 14s and 16s, and it took us a while.
The youth section took off from there. The local technical and Christian Brothers schools began to field teams, and this was to benefit Youghal RFC in the long run. Sports reporter and former PRO with Youghal, Derek Coyley, recalls being a part of one of Youghal's early underage rugby sides of the 1970s.
What happened was, in school, in the Brothers, in the secondary school, we had a science teacher called Mr. Lynch. Can't think of his first name. I hope he's still with us. But he was a great man for the rugby, because he came from Prez, and Prez, of course, Prez and Christians were the two big schools in Cork, and still are, for rugby. And he was mad intent on getting a rugby team into the school. But of course, the Brothers weren't really having that, because it was very much hurling and football, which was fair enough, because we loved the hurling and football too. But there's no way in the world we're going to have a rugby team. But Mr. Lynch insisted anyway and kept going. And eventually he pulled a team together. And I remember our first game was actually on your way up to CUH in the grounds there against Prez. And to be honest with you, there was 15 of us on the field, and I'd say two of us knew the rules. And we actually won the game through brute force and ignorance, you know. And then we played another couple of games. We played against Middleton above in Middleton, and we beat them. And then we started to kind of get an idea of what the rules were all about. And eventually, you know, we got training and we were taking it a bit more seriously. And, of course, prior to that, we were going up to the field and Bookie Lane used to scare the living daylights out of us because his training was so hard. God rest his soul, Ollie Murphy used to bring us up and down the hill on his bike. We used to have Mick Healy, who was still involved, I'm sure, in some way. He was a stalwart of the club. And the wonderful Norman MacDonald, who was always a brilliant mentor for all of us, to be honest, you know. Great with young fellas, you know what I mean? Very honest and a great fellow with young fellas. And I remember that we got together in the school and there was players on that team. Chris Bullman was on that team. Michael Ford. Kirby Kearns was on it. He was an absolute legend. Mosey Power was on the wing. Nobody could catch Mosey. And I got the duties of kicking. And there was plenty of other players, I just can't remember now. And we had some great nights above in Frogmore. And I remember we went well in a cup there and we played Christians one night. The place was packed and we won that game. And that led to us playing above in Musgrave Park ahead of Leinster and Munster in an interprovincial match. And we drew the game with Mallow and won the replay. I wasn't involved in the replay, but I remember having the last kick of the game and hitting the post. It was heartbreaking, but it was a great achievement in such a short space of time for a bunch of lads that knew nothing about rugby to get to play in a final game against Mallow above in Musgrave Park. We played under the banner of Yule. I don't know, I'll be honest with you, I know that many years ago they had tried to bring in underage rugby, and I'm not sure now. I'm 54, so you can go back to when I was about 14. So that's 40 years ago. The club was founded in the 60s. So I can't imagine there was too many underage teams in that time. So I'd imagine we were one of the first underage teams. And once we got winning a few games, of course, the interest in the school got interested and more lads were interested in playing. More lads came on board. And now, when you look at the club, the underage structure is crucially important to them. Mini rugby, underage teams, young fellas coming through. And, you know, in our early days, we hadn't much of a clue. But people like McKeely taught us the game, and people like Norman MacDonald taught us what rugby meant passionately, and people like Bookie Lane tried to kill us, but at the end of the day, I suppose it did us no harm, and we learnt a couple of things by playing rugby, and by being involved in the club, was the ultimate respect that you have for the people that were training you, the respect you have for the referee. It was drilled into us from day one, and fellas would be flaking the head off each other on the pitch, but they'd be shaking hands and having a pint inside afterwards, you know, and that's still the way. And I think that's one of the fantastic aspects of being a member of Yall Rugby Club. Taught us so much about how to behave. And I think that was very important, you know.
Returning to the first team, while the emphasis may have been on fun during the first two decades of Yall RFC's existence, the East Cork outfit continued to progress, and some major trophies came the way of the club in the 1980s and 1990s. A minor cup arrived in 1983. A decade later, Yall would complete a brace of league victories. Kevin Donovan was captain of the side that went on to win Division 2 and then Division 1 of the Munster Junior League in the 1990s.
I suppose the kind of the structure of rugby changed around that time as well, in that the leagues were developed, I suppose, in 88, 89, that kind of way. They went to an all-Munster league. Before, we would only ever be exposed to playing, I suppose, your Mallow, Fermoy, all the Cork teams. But after that then, based on how you finished at that stage, then you went into the all-Munster leagues, you know. And so you ended up playing your Thomans and the Limerick teams, the Clare teams, all the good teams in Munster, you know, all the Tipperary teams. So I suppose in, I think it was 92, 93, there we won Division 2, which was a great win for us there up in Abbeyfield. I can remember the day well, you know. Two buses broke down, so we couldn't get home. It was about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning by the time we got home, you know. But so we won Division 2 there, and then the following year we were lucky enough to be able to get, I suppose, Murray Kidd, who ended up coaching Ireland as our coach a couple of nights a week. And he really put great structures in place and how to play the game, you know. Very tight panel. But we won Division 1 then, up in the grounds here. Actually, we played Bandon on the day. Very windy day, as I recall it, you know. So I don't think that has been done since. I don't think anyone's won Division 2 and then Division 1 back-to-back since, you know. So it was a nice achievement. Nice to be there. Nice to be captain at the time when we did that, I suppose, you know.
That concludes episode one. In future episodes of Y'all a Rugby Stronghold, we'll examine the current setup at Frogmore, hear from those involved in the women's team, and celebrate some of the ex-Y'all players to have played for Munster and Ireland. Y'all a Rugby Stronghold was presented and produced by Jordan McCarthy, edited by Tom Maher, and the sound engineer was Thomas O'Keefe. A Community Radio Y'all production.